They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
It was money with strings attached.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Happy Friday. Corporate pay is the topic the nation's so-called pay czar, Kenneth Feinberg, will be talking about today. He's set to announce new rules for six companies still under government restrictions because of the bailout money they received. Let's bring in Ashley Milne-Tite live from the Marketplace New York City Bureau with the latest. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning.
So what are we going to hear today from Mr. Feinberg?
Well, he's expected to announce that there'll be new restrictions on pay for some of the highest paid employees at these companies. So we're talking about Citigroup, AIG, GM, Chrysler, Chrysler Financial, and GMAC. And he's already slashed pay for the top 25 executives at those firms that, you know, still have a lot of TARP money. But today's announcement is expected to affect the pay of the next 75 highest paid people at those firms.
And what do you think the reaction's going to be?
Not very enthusiastic, probably. I spoke to Eric Moskowitz of Options Group earlier. That's a Wall Street compensation consulting firm.
They're not going to like it, but I think the bottom line is that everyone knows from Wall Street to Main Street that the top leading United States banks may not be in business today if it wasn't for the federal support system. That's a fact.
Well, that may be the case, but that doesn't mean that nobody's complaining. I mean, AIG CEO has already been openly at loggerheads with Ken Feinberg over the pay restrictions. I mean, he's basically said, you know, if you want us to put this firm back together, AIG staff need to be well paid or they're going to quit.
All right. Ashley Milne-Tite joining us from New York. Ashley, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's check the numbers. Shares are higher across the board in Europe right now, average of about 1%. China reported its industrial production rose 19%. That got Asian stocks popping today. The Hang Seng was up 1%. The Nikkei climbed 2.5%. Here at home, trade deficit numbers yesterday came in better than expected, helping markets rise. The S&P tacked on 0.5%. The Dow up 68 points to close at 10,405. The House yesterday, the U.S. House, passed a $1.1 trillion spending bill. It heads to the Senate next week. There's $500 billion for Medicare, another $100 billion for veterans, and a little measure to help the 2,000 or so dealerships being closed by GM and Chrysler. From Washington, Brett Neely reports.
When General Motors went into bankruptcy this spring, the company said closing small and overlapping dealerships would save $2.5 billion a year. But the decision had political consequences. David Cole is with the Center for Automotive Research.
What the dealer closures did is brought home the travails of the auto industry to the average community.
Car dealers are often important local businesses who give to charities and members of Congress. The dealers went to Capitol Hill to stop the process. But they won't be getting exactly what they wanted, says auto consultant Alan Baum. Instead, the legislation makes the car makers and dealers meet with an arbitrator. The arbitrator will decide whether some dealers get a reprieve. Though it looks like a win for the dealers, Baum says in the end, it's not.
The agreements that have been worked out are set in such a way that the number of dealers that will actually be brought back to life, so to speak, is relatively modest.
He says GM and Chrysler will get to hold on to most of the savings they had planned for. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Just in case you're waxing nostalgic this morning, it was a year ago today the name Bernard Madoff sprang into the mainstream conversation. The former Wall Street titan was arrested on December 11, 2008, accused of defrauding investors of more than $50 billion. He's serving a 150-year sentence. Hundreds lost their life savings, and most of us are now well aware of what a Ponzi scheme is.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
The White House has made it no secret its focus these days is getting Americans back to work. Congress will soon put its own plan on the table. Former Labor Secretary Robert Rice is with us this morning to talk about how it'll all play out on Capitol Hill. Morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
So what can we expect in a jobs bill, and when can we expect it?
Well, I suppose some combination of aid to small business, a new jobs tax credit, and more spending on energy and infrastructure. The Democrats want to have a bill enacted before we're too far into the gravitational pull of the midterm election next year, so they can look like they've been doing something about jobs.
Look like?
Look, we're probably talking here about maybe $100 to $200 billion. Sounds like a lot of money. But state and local governments, which cannot, under their own constitutions, run deficits, are running a huge anti-stimulus program right now, cutting their budgets, raising taxes this year and next, to the tune of about $350 billion. Bailing out the states and cities would have a far bigger impact than anything else the federal government could do right now.
But even so, Bob, where's the money going to come from, the federal money?
Well, the White House says it's saving $200 billion from TARP, the bank bailout, and will just apply some of these savings to the stimulus. It's a neat argument, Steve, but doesn't really hold water because that $200 billion could easily go back to reducing the budget deficit.
So the real question then is how much deficit spending?
Exactly. And the real problem for the Democrats is they haven't been able to get across to the public that short-term deficit spending to get jobs back and the economy moving again will actually reduce the long-term budget deficit, because obviously the sooner people are back earning money and businesses are back making good profits, the faster tax revenues will rise. Most of the public doesn't really distinguish between short-term deficit spending, which really is necessary now, and long-term deficits, which are worrisome.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And finally, if it's your time to exit the social networking world, there is a website to help you virtually end it all. The LA Times says seppuku.com is named after the ancient Japanese samurai act. That's when a warrior would die with honor by thrusting a sword into his stomach. Well, the site looks a lot like Facebook. You enter your Facebook ID and password, a click here, a click there, and poof, what it calls liberation of the digital body. Yeah, that. Check us out online at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.